Thank you, everyone, for your patience. And I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. And we'll start with the acknowledgement that I think most of us, if we haven't been traveling, are on the traditional and unceded lands of the Puyallup Nation, the Puyallup Tribe, I should say. And I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call, so bear with me while I have two lists and two screens open. We have Commissioner Morgan Ross, Commissioner Sundstrom, just checking them off my list, Commissioner Cade, Commissioner Stewart, Commissioner Williams, Commissioner Jaggers, or is it Jaggers? Commissioner Hilsendegger, and Commissioner Slesher, and myself, Vice Chair Mortensen. So I know that Chair Bartoy does have an excused absence this evening because he's attending IPS committee with Mr. McKnight. So we want to thank them for helping us with that and representing the commission there. Next, we will go ahead and move forward with the consent agenda, which includes minutes that were in the packet and also an administrative review. Is there anyone who had any comments on the administrative review before we move forward? Then, unless by unanimous consent, we will accept the consent agenda unless there are any opposed. All right, and we will move to our one item this evening, which is the nomination of 1002 South Anderson Street. And I will go ahead and turn it over to Lauren for the staff report.
Oh, sorry, did we approve the minutes?
Oh, sorry. I thought we unanimously passed the consent agenda, which included the minutes.
So usually, as long as no one has any changes to add, then we can do that.
I did not specifically ask for any changes, so I will do that now. I'm going to let
All right. Chair, are we ready to proceed?
I think so. Didn't hear any opposition to accepting the minutes or the administrative review, so we can proceed with the nomination.
Thank you. All right. This item for 102 South Anderson Street, the Klinkenberg Decker House, is here for a preliminary review. Tacoma Registered Listing follows procedures defined in 1307.050 and consists of a minimum of two separate commission meetings. The initial meeting determines whether the property meets the threshold criteria in the ordinance for age and integrity. If the commission finds that the age and integrity standards are met, then the commission may move to have the nomination scheduled for a public hearing and comment period, at which the public may enter comments into the record for consideration. Following the comment period, the commission may deliberate on the nomination for up to 45 days before recommending to City Council, listing on the register, or denying the nomination. The purpose of this review is to determine whether the nominated property meets the threshold criteria and should be scheduled for public testimony at a public hearing. The Klinkenberg Decker House was constructed in 1904 as a single-family residence in the Central District of Tacoma for John and Cinda Klinkenberg. After the Klinkenbergs moved out, the house was consistently used as income property rented by working class Tacomans. The Klinkenberg Decker House is nominated under criterion A for its representation of patterns of history and development within Tacoma. The property with its American Foursquare plan, is it an early application of classical revival details, reflects the first wave of development in the central district as Tacoma's population grew following the completion of the direct transcontinental railroad line over Stampede Pass. The Klinkenberg Decker House also represents a second period of growth in Tacoma as its conversion to a duplex by 1942 reflects the city's booming population during World War II to support defense industries. The Klinkenberg Decker House is also nominated under Criterion F for its corner location at a dead-end street. As one of the oldest houses in the location on a corner lot, it has a distinctive visual presence. The nomination includes principal structure and garage. Northwest Vernacular submitted the application on behalf of the owner. The property is nominated under criterions A and F. Requested action, determination of whether the property nominated to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places appears to meet the threshold criteria for nomination, and if so, scheduling the nominations for public hearing. The commission may forward all or part of the nomination for consideration. These are the effects of the nomination, which you can find in the packet. Standards. The threshold criteria for Tacoma Register listing are listed at 1307040B and include, 1, the property is at least 50 years old at the time of nomination, and 2, the property retains integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association such that it is able to convey its historical, cultural, and architectural significance. Staff analysis is that, 1, at 117 years old, the property meets the age threshold criterion, and 2, overall, the Klinkenberg Decker House retains much of its integrity of design, workmanship, setting, location, feeling, and association. The windows are not original, but the new wood windows are sensitive to the house's historic character. They match the original openings discovered during siding repair and do not interfere with the house's ability to convey its significance. The house lost its original full-width front porch in 1941 when it was converted to a duplex and is thus associated with that aspect of the property's significance. At this point, the rear porch was also replaced with an addition, and the detached garage was built. A second rear addition was added at an unknown date. The additions are visible but located in the rear of the home and are subservient to the main structure. The nomination includes both the garage and the main property. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I will open it up to comments from or questions, excuse me, from commissioners about the staff report, if there are any. And I will note that I cannot see all videos, but there is a raised hand. Sorry?
This is Jeff. I don't know if you can hear me. I don't know how to use this.
I can hear you now.
Okay. Clearly recusing myself from discussion on this particular nomination since I own it. So there you have it.
Perfect. Thank you. And I will note that there is a raise hand function at the very top of the window that I can see. It's the third icon in the left. So if commissioners are wanting to speak, that might be an easy way to get attention. Thanks again for your patience on learning this new portal on the fly for our meetings. Are there any questions about the staff report? Hearing none, I will go ahead and turn it over to the applicant.
Hello, Katie. Do you have a presentation?
I do. Can I share my screen? Is that possible? Okay.
I'm going to turn off sharing here and hand it over to you.
Okay. Sorry, it's taking a few.
Okay, I'm
not used to this format.
I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
Yeah, the mute button's up on the top right-hand corner for anyone. It's helpful if you're muted when not speaking. Keeps the keeps the background noise to a minimum.
Lauren, unfortunately, I'm having some issues with the share tray actually working. I'm just getting a spinning circle. So
if you can email it to me, I'll open it up.
I will quickly email it to you. Thanks for everyone's patience. I appreciate it. Okay, I just sent it, Lauren, as an as a link to download, since it might be too big for going through.
All right, got it. Well, this is an unconventional meeting.
I will say, Lauren, I've been in worse, more chaotic meetings in the last 9 months, so.
That makes me feel better.
I have as well. Yeah.
Like the one meeting Ruben isn't here, everything's crazy.
Shouldn't Katie be wearing a suit or something?
What? You're sitting on my couch.
Okay. Got it. All right. Can we see the presentation?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to turn my camera off while I talk just so I don't get distracted by myself and my waving hands. Thank you so much. I know this is kind of crazy with the changing of the platform, but thank you all for your patience. It's wonderful to be here with all of you virtually. I'm Katie Pratt with Northwest Vernacular, and I'm representing the property owner, Jeff Williams, who you all know. We're nominating the Klinkenberg Decker House, which is quite the tongue twister, I know, under criteria A and F for its association with patterns in Tacoma's history and for its visual presence within its surroundings. It was constructed in 1904 as a single family residence for John and Cinda Klinkenberg. And after they moved out, the house was consistently used as an income property. Next slide, Lauren. So I thought I would chat briefly about the history of the Central District, or West End, as it was known previously, to put the house in its context. The Central District is west and uphill of the downtown core and abuts the western edge of Hilltop along Sprague. And a full neighborhood history has not been written on the Central District. But there was a National Register of Historic Places multiple property submission done for historic resources of the Hilltop neighborhood that helped me get a start. But I will say researching this during a pandemic was a bit challenging for those properties that don't have tons of information on them available online. But when the Northern Pacific Railroad selected Tacoma as its western terminus in 1873, the railroad formed the Tacoma Land Company, which platted its 2,700-acre tract of land as New Tacoma in 1875. And as the city grew, other development companies formed to buy up and plat surrounding land. And these additions to the original plat extended development west and north of the downtown core, and it is likely that the addition within which the nominated property is located, dated 1873, was part of this push, and that plat is in that kind of center upper image. The 1888 Sanborn fire insurance maps for Tacoma did not extend west of Sprague, indicating scattered and limited development in the area. And you can see in this bird's eye drawing, which is a drawing, but representing kind of Tacoma's development of from 1889, but it was pretty sparse in the area where the house is located, is just trees, and then it fades off into, you know, nothing. But the establishment of a cable car line, which property owners lobbied for, helped open the area for development. City Council granted a franchise for cable railways to a company associated with the railroad in 1889, and their efforts resulted in a single-track loop up South 11th Street, then south on South K to 13th, and then back down to A Street downtown. And by the 1890s, development had pushed out to Sprague and continued beyond. And between 1890 and 1891, large forest stands were removed in the area, known as the West End, to prepare for development. 6th Ave and South 12th Street were becoming commercial corridors and had their entire lengths graded. And then in early 1893, the Tacoma City Council changed the names of all the streets west of Steele Ave and south of 6th Avenue to eliminate inconsistencies between adjacent plats and create easy wayfinding within the city limits. For example, the plat, the Kellogg's addition within which the building is located, all the streets are completely different. The lots are oriented differently. The only reason I knew it was in the Kellogg's addition is because of the assessor's record, because there's no way I would have been able to know where those lots were just looking at the plat map. Next slide, Lauren. Development within the Central District remained sparse, though. South Anderson Street was not even an open thoroughfare between South 8th and South 10th by 1900. In the block surrounding the nominated property site, there are only a handful of houses constructed, with few remaining from this early period, with the exception of 1007 South Anderson Street, which is just across the street. Additional streetcar lines established in the early 1900s extended transportation within the city. And on the map on the right, it's from 1914, and it shows the streetcar lines in Tacoma, and I've got a little yellow arrow roughly pointing to where the house is located. So it was clearly in a really ideal location for transportation to be able to get kind of anywhere within the developed city and even outside of the city. Between 1900 and 1910, Tacoma experienced significant and steady growth, more than doubling its population. And this is reflected in the 1912 Sanborn maps from the time, which show development on over half the lots surrounding the nominated property. And Tacoma continued to grow at a steady pace over the next three decades, but again experienced a population spike in the 1940s. And this reflects the area's wartime production boom as workers and military personnel moved into the area to work at the military installations as well as in shipyards and factories to contribute to the war effort. And this added to an already significant housing shortage in many Puget Sound cities like Tacoma and created a substantial demand for rental housing in particular. So converting an existing building to multiple family dwelling was able to provide additional housing, likely without the additional material needs of new construction. Next slide, please, Lauren. Focusing in specifically on the building, the 10-acre Kellogg's addition was platted by David Kellogg in 1873. The lots were oriented to face north or south on east and west running streets, and it does not appear that any development occurred within the addition until after 1888. And the Sanborn Fire Insurance maps from that year depict development around the addition following the prevailing street grid with narrower lots than platted in the Kellogg's addition. John and Cinda Klinkenberg purchased the property in early 1904 from the Berrys, and sewer construction began in the addition within the same time period. The construction of the property reflects larger construction trends in Tacoma. Building permits soared in the first half of 1904, reflecting substantial construction and growth in Tacoma. And the Klinkenbergs moved out of the property, though, in 1908, and it appears the property was then sold to someone who used it as an income property. It was then sold again in 1911, and it was listed for rent in 1912 for $15 a month, which was pretty consistent with rents for other properties in the city at the time of the same size. The house was considered a single-family residence from 1904 until 1941, although there were often boarders or intergenerational families occupying the house, and it was listed in the city directories as 1002 South Anderson. After 1940, the property was subdivided into two separate units, likely by Mr. Decker, and the property's address remained, 1002 South Anderson, but then the other unit was 1002 and a half, and the house was subdivided by floor with a unit on the first floor and a second unit upstairs, and here on the Sanborn maps, you can see how the house changed from its single-family use to a duplex. On the left, we have 1912, It has a full width front porch, which, and actually on that block, there's three houses that all have similar forms with that full width front porch. But then by 1950, you can see that it has been converted into a two family residence. There's been an addition made to the rear. The garage has been constructed, and that front porch has been removed to make way for the double entrances for the duplex. Next slide. Since there have been alterations to the house, although I would argue that they have been sensitive and respect both the original design and form, as well as its duplex conversion, I thought it would be helpful still to run through the seven aspects of integrity: location, setting, design, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, and talk about how the building retains those or does not. The location, it's still at the corner of South 10th and South Anderson. The house hasn't been moved. For its setting, the house is part of Kellogg's addition, which is reflected in how South Anderson jogs as it intersects with South 10th, showing how older additions were integrated as the city grew and expanded beyond its original boundaries. It remains in a residential neighborhood where South 10th dead ends into South Anderson Street. Design, the house clearly retains its four-square form, even though the front porch has been removed. It also retains its classical revival details with box eaves and dentils. It is not a high style example of architecture. And while there is no evidence that the house is a kit or catalog house, the style and form of the house aligns closely to a number of kit houses from the area and is a similar form to other houses on the street that have had varying degrees of alterations, which really does reflect the working class nature of the neighborhood. Next slide, Lauren. Materials, the house retains its original wood siding and boxed eave details, and while the windows have been replaced, they're compatible replacement windows. Workmanship, it's still a simple house and reflects the workmanship of the time with the materials that are still present on the building. Feeling, it retains its historic single-family form with the duplex use clearly visible. I think that's what's particularly special about this house is that it really has its kind of feet in both eras of development. You can see that it's clearly an early 20th century house with its four square form, but then its duplex use and the removal of that porch really aligns it with the simplicity of the World War II era. And then finally, association. Again, the form connects with that early 20th century construction. And then when you think seeing the two front doors instead of, you know, hiding the duplex use within the house and just having a single entry, having the two doors on the outside clearly identifies it as a duplex and helps place it in that context of Tacoma's World War II era population surge. And so then that's just my last slide for questions. With that, does anyone have any questions for me about the house or the history? I am happy to answer.
Well, I think first we'll ask Jeff, the owner, if he has any comments before we open it up to the commission.
Yeah, the only comment I wanted to make really was there were existing windows that we were able to use as our guidance, and they were all double hung wood windows. They were literally rotted. There was two in, I guess, if we could, I don't know if you can show the top apartment. Those were the only existing windows. The rest were a combination of vinyl and metal. So maybe go back to this picture, the back, like the side porch picture, Lauren. If you can get to that, keep going down. Keep going. It was the one with the patio, that one. So if you guys look here, at the top of this picture, those, I still had those two original windows, so it was obvious. And then there's a window in the stairwell, and then also the window in the dormer were original. So we were able to save two of the original windows. Yeah, that's a good picture. So, and then when we were repairing the exterior siding, we had a shadow line for where the original windows were, and they matched up size-wise with what I currently had in the upstairs unit. The reason we argued about putting the porch back, and it would not have been the same form that it originally had, so we would have been kind of just doing a reproduction porch because of the second door being added so close to the right-hand side of the front facade. That porch came down into that doorway opening originally. So it would have had to have been, had we recreated it, we would have had to have lifted it higher, and it would have had to be flattened out. And I felt like that would not be true to the, you know, to the actual form of the house. So I guess those are the only comments I have. So, you know, we did go back in with the windows in the way that they were originally on the house. And they're all double hung wood windows and are exactly the same as what was there originally in the sizes and shapes. And like I said, the windows I took out were plate glass windows. There were some vinyl windows and some probably aluminum windows, maybe even from that World War II conversion, which is when I also think that the back addition was done, because that back addition houses the downstairs bathroom and the downstairs kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I think that was added. So that's my only comments.
Great. Thank you very much, Katie and Jeff, for your the presentation and your comments. So I will go ahead and open it up to commissioners for questions and comments for Katie or Jeff. See, Commissioner Stewart.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm very excited to see this house come up because I live around the corner and I've been watching it for the last 15 years go through various phases, and it's much improved from what was there even 5 years ago. So thank you. I had a couple of just little things that I saw in the report that I had questions or wasn't sure about. On page 7 of the report, it said that construction was in 1904, but then in another spot it said 1910. So I just want to make sure that those were consistent.
That was a typo. It should be 1904.
Okay.
I thought I'd caught all of those. Thank you. I can update that and all of that for the record.
Okay. And then the comments about it being a dead-end street, it definitely intersects there, but it's not a dead-end street. The streets all connect to each other in this area. So, it's part of the neighborhood and integrated with the rest of the neighborhood.
Yeah, 10th Street doesn't continue on its axis.
Right.
So if you look here,
there's like a jog in the.
Yeah, you have to turn either left or right at this house. To continue on Anderson, and then 10th Street continues on up above.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess saying it's a T, it's at a T intersection versus dead end would probably be more appropriate.
Correct.
And then I was curious about the front entrance. So I know that until this recent whenever the porch was removed and this recent renovation, the front entrance actually bumped out a little bit. So I was wondering about that being made flush and.
Yeah.
About that decision.
Yeah, that wasn't original, and it was badly deteriorated on the original house. So again, that kind of went back to the whole decision. Can you guys hear me okay?
No, it was not.
That went back to the whole decision about what to do about the porch. It had just a little, it was only about 2 feet deep, and it just was it wasn't correct to the architecture of the house. It had a little, just a peaked roof with two doors set in it. And so we made the decision to remove that to go back to the original flat front of the house.
Okay.
Yep.
And if commissioners are interested, I was going to say, Holly, that I did see that on Google Street View, you can still see a version of the house with a little front gable over the two doors, and it's I don't know what year it is. It looks like maybe 2019.
Yeah, I have before photos of it too. If you guys want to pull those up.
And get as far as I can. And then we'll probably circle.
Yeah, you can see how it had big plate windows in the front, and that had this strange little like cover that kind of hung off to the right hand side of the house. And there were some nice chairs too. And some random person getting ready to steal something out of the yard, maybe one of those chairs.
And you can also see, if you go down South Anderson Street, you can see the other two on the block that have the same form, but they've all been, have had a variety of changes over the years. So there isn't like one prime example that Jeff could have said, oh, this is what it looked like originally, since they've all kind of, like, one has its porch complete, like partially infilled. The other one has interesting siding. So it's an interesting block.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to.
The updates are much improved as well. I mean, it looks like those the original garage style, but the changes there have been a big improvement too. So, thank you.
Thank you. I know that Commissioner Schlesher had her hand up next, I think.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I think. Even if I had known that this was Jeff's property, I would have done it with Jeff's property because it's so beautifully done. So kudos.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. We almost killed, Mark and I almost killed each other over this. So I'm glad. I'm glad you think it was worth it.
Well, I hear his voice in the background. So signs of life have been met.
Yes. He's zooming in another meeting in the background.
All right. Commissioner Johnson.
Yeah, I wanted to congratulate Jeff on another beautiful restoration, but I was wondering about why you picked that light fixture on the front of the house over the doors.
The
little gooseneck.
The gooseneck, yeah. So I felt like that was important because we wanted to have a safety issue there, and so that's a light that comes on automatically at night and kind of lights up that corner, because that side of the house is the front and the side of the house was very dark at night. So I, just from a tenant's perspective, I wanted to have a safety issue. And that was the closest thing I could find that, you know, might have looked like, you know, a gooseneck fixture, you know, that might have been period appropriate. So that's why I did that one.
All right. Thank you.
Instead of one of those, you know, motion sensor lights that we put over the garage.
All right. Any other commissioner comments or questions? All right. Well, I've heard only supportive comments so far, so I'm going to assume that there will be someone who would be willing to put forward a motion, and reminder that it is being nominated under two criteria for its contribution to the development of Tacoma, but also its position on the corner and its as a landmark of the neighborhood. So I just want to make sure that all commissioners agree with both of those before a motion is made. Or that, I guess, commissioners are aware that those are both being proposed.
Excuse me, Chair, I just want to quick note. So this is just where the commission decides if it meets the threshold criteria and not the nomination criteria yet.
Oh, thank you. That is a great clarification. Lauren has put the motion language on the screen. Is there anyone who is willing to make a motion?
Sure, I can make a motion. I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission adopt the analysis as findings and schedule the nomination for 1002 South Anderson Street Klinkenberg Decker House for public hearing and future consideration at a tentative hearing date February 10th of this year.
Thank you, Commissioner Morgenroth. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
I think that was Commissioner Stewart.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Are there any comments or questions from commissioners on the motion? All right. With that, I will call for a vote. All those in favor, please use the raise hand function since I cannot see everyone's video. I see Commissioner Hilsendegger, Johnson, Stewart, Schlesher, Morgenroth, Sundstrom, and myself in support. So I feel that is unanimous with our two non-voting commissioners and Commissioner Williams having recused himself as the property owner. So thank you, everyone. Look forward to continuing this conversation. And thank you, Katie, for an excellent presentation and a wonderful context of the neighborhood and this very unique and interesting house that represents quite a time span. So with that, I will turn it over back over to staff for events.
Thank you. So we have on January 21st a presentation by Second Use and Earthwise called Salvage Stories, and they'll be talking about some of the Tacoma projects they did over the last year. So that should be pretty exciting. And then we have made the decision to keep all of our events virtual for 2021. And so we will be doing a virtual Historic Preservation Month and lectures and talks and some different types of videos and interactive things that you can look forward to. And we'll be making those announcements shortly.
Great. Thank you, Lauren. I know you and Ruben have been working on putting that schedule together for this next year, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I just wanted to put a shout out for the Earthwise event that I will be representing Historic Tacoma at that meeting or at that event. So that should be really fun if folks want to join in. So with that, I do not have any chair comments, but I did want to just thank everybody for your patience with technology this evening, making sure everyone prepared. So thank you, everyone. I'll adjourn the meeting, and we'll see you all next time.